You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Continuing onward here with the 2012 baseball special, we've got filmmaker, raconteur, man about town, Paul Kimball, back on the program. It's been a year. Actually, you were on for a regular episode last summer, so it's been not that long since we chatted. But welcome back to the show, and welcome back to the baseball special, Paul.
Thanks, Tim. Yours is the only paranormal themed show that I would still be on. Although you're not really a paranormal themed show so much as a sort of an esoteric themed show.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, sure.
Well, you've got horses eating other horses, right?
That's not horses eating all kinds of shit.
Yeah, I guess that is paranormal.
Not just other horses. Actually, I think that might be the only thing they don't eat. But
oh, really? I thought they were cannibal horses. Oh. Perhaps I should have listened to the show instead of just reading the message form in all of America.
Anyway, welcome back. What have you been up to since we heard from you last summer?
Oh, you know, just I have a real job, so that's pretty much what I've been up to, developing new projects and trying to raise money and casting films and all that sort of stuff.
Gotta love the casting couch, right?
No casting couch. They're real actors, a real country not named Canada, and we have a real casting director. So I haven't even met them. I haven't talked to them. You know, it's for the feature film I have coming up in the fall. So we work through a casting director, which is a first for me. I mean, it's what they do in Hollywood and everywhere else, but I've never actually worked with one. So it's been a very good experience, and we've got it's a sort of a supernatural thriller love story that we're doing as a British-Canadian co-production, and we've got a really good cast shaping up. So, yeah, it's very exciting.
Exactly, exciting. All right. What about in the paranormal realm? You were kind of, I'm trying to recall, you were kind of inching your way out of it the last time we chatted.
Yeah, as we would say in Canada, je suis out. I'm out. I mean, I'm still, excuse me, I'm still interested in the paranormal. I think we all are. In different ways, you know, my grandfather was a Reformed Baptist minister. I consider him a paranormalist, just a different kind of paranormalist, the idea of something beyond us. But, yeah, it was never I think I just wrote something, my final post, my blog, saying goodbye or adieu, as we French Canadians say. Wait, I'm not French Canadian.
Well, yeah, what are you talking
about? I've met enough of them that I can get away with it. You know, it was never a primary interest for me. It wouldn't even have made my top 20, but it is an interest, and I have a new website that I've sort of put my favorite paranormal columns and some of my new writings on, and so it's one part of that website, which is much more reflective of the overall me, I suppose, which is the paranormal is a small part of what interests me, but here's all the other things that interest me, too. Beyond Best Evidence is still the one paranormal-related project that I haven't walked away from.
Still so, gestating.
Still trying to raise the money for it. We got, you know, the Indiegogo campaign, which folks might or might not recall. Didn't go as well as we would have liked. But,
right, you know, it indie went.
Yes, it went, exactly. But the money that we did raise is still sitting in the corporate bank account. And the nice thing about the feature film and a couple of television-related projects that I have coming up is that they should provide, assuming I can get my partners to agree, they should provide the wherewithal that I can pull money from the corporate overhead in those, and I think that will probably fund Beyond Best Evidence, which obviously is still a project, you know, probably the final UFO project that I'd like to do.
All right, until they land on the White House lawn.
And yeah, until they land on the White House lawn.
Or the Canadian equivalent.
Parliament Hill or, you know, whatever, somewhere in the middle of Rwanda.
God. All right, so you ready to talk baseball? What? How are you feeling here as the season is about to begin? Obviously, you're a Red Sox fan living in Canada. It's going to be a tough year for them, I think. It's getting even tougher than that, American League East.
Yeah, I feel great about baseball because I'm sick of hockey. It was 25 degrees. Well, I'm not a huge hockey fan anyway until the playoffs, but it was 25 degrees centigrade, which I think it's about 78 or 79. And you're... you know, sort of archaic imperial system down there. And, you know, I was walking around with summer clothes on last week. So for me, hockey ends when I get to put on shorts and a summer shirt. So hockey, basketball has been a nightmare because of the strike. What's the other major sport? Oh, football. Well, yeah, the Patriots lost the Super Bowl. So I've kind of checked out of, you know, it isn't even football season. Although the CFL starts up soon. So yeah, baseball. It's the only game in town, and although I'm looking forward to seeing Tiger Woods at the Masters. So yeah, no, it's very exciting because it's a year of flux too. You know, there's been a lot of off-season developments, some big stories, some interesting things going on, some interesting stuff coming up ahead. And then there's the season itself, which I think is actually going to be pretty exciting this year. Plus, we had a great World Series last year.
It was excellent. It was it was a hell of a baseball playoff season. Now, what are your thoughts on Bobby Valentine? He kind of reminds me a little of you.
Yeah.
Didn't you claim to have invented the rap, too? Wasn't that one of your claims?
No, I never claimed to invent the rap. Not that kind of rap, anyway. I'm not a fan of Bobby Valentine. I never have been.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He rubs me the wrong way in every way. Contrary to popular opinion, I actually don't like loud, brash people, even though I occasionally play one on the internet. I prefer sort of a subtler, more intelligent, more, I don't know what's the right word, classy way of conducting your affairs. It's why I don't like Ozzie Guillen either. So, you know, Terry Francona, I thought, was great. He had probably run his course. I think it was time for him to move on, especially given the mess in the clubhouse last year.
Yeah.
It sounded like he lost the team, but, excuse me, but the guy won two World Series, and nobody won a World Series in Boston since 1918. So he's the greatest Boston Red Sox manager of all time. And you can't take that away from him. Bobby Valentine, how many World Series rings does Bobby Valentine have? I'm pretty sure the number's zero.
Zero. He has one Japanese ring.
Yeah. Well, okay. So how many real World Series rings? No offense to the Japanese leagues. They're lovely. But when their best players are playing in Major League Baseball, yeah. So Bobby Valentine, I think it was a bad hire. I think the Red Sox are not going to make the playoffs this year. And I think you're actually going to see Valentine do more damage to the team. And they're going to have to hire somebody after they get rid of him to come in and really fix the mess that I think the Sox are in and are headed further into. And it's going to need to be an entirely new way of looking at things.
Now, why do you say this? What kind of mess do you think that they're in? I feel like they're kind of trying to. I think they're kind of pulling out of it, but you seem to think it's going to get worse.
Yeah, no, I do think it's going to get worse. You can take a look at start with their pitching staff. Well, there's John Lackey, and that should be enough, but I'm not sold on Beckett. I think he's, you know, his better days are behind him. Daniel Bard, I'm not sure Daniel Bard can be anything other than a middle reliever because I don't think his mind's there. So I don't think he has the chutzpah to be a closer, and I don't think he has the arm strength to be a starter. You know, you can just start going down, and everywhere you look, you see the Boston Red Sox have been built like a fantasy baseball team. So you look at them and you go, you know what, if I had a fantasy team, these guys, they look pretty, but there's something about them. It's the most overused term in team sports, chemistry. But I think with the Red Sox, it actually fits, that there is something missing there. There's just, you know, it's like a guy who's really, it's like Rain Man. There's just click, something isn't quite right with the Dustin Hoffman character, no matter how smart he is or what he can do. So I think the Red Sox, they'll have individual players who will pile up stats, who will do very well. And, you know, they're an 80 to 90 win team, which isn't all that bad. I mean, ask the Baltimore Orioles. They'd love to have the Red Sox as problems. But they're not a playoff team. They're certainly, in my mind, not a World Series contender. And I don't see it improving until there are some changes in the culture there, and you know that will involve management. I mean, I could be wrong. I kind of hope I'm wrong, but they kind of remind me of the Red Sox from, you know, 25, 30 years ago, where there was a lot of clubhouse dissension, different factions. You know, not a bad team, but not a good team, and just kind of lost at sea. In a division, you could afford to be lost at sea if you were in the American League Central, maybe.
Yeah,
but if you're in the American League East, you can't afford to be lost at sea.
No, you have to be.
There are sharks swimming around you. And there are two teams in the American League East that actually run their teams the right way, build from the ground up, and one has built a solid contender, and the other, that proven solid contender, and the other one is on the verge of becoming a perennial solid contender again. That would be the Rays and the Jays. So those are the teams in the ascendant, and the Red Sox, and I think the Yankees too, are teams that are descending despite their overinflated payrolls.
Right, right. Well, it's the that's the overinflated payrolls what's keeping them afloat, it seems, at this point. But I don't know what. I'm confident. I'm feeling good. I don't know. I haven't made my picks yet, but I certainly don't think they're going to go all the way this year, but I would appreciate being pleasantly surprised.
85 wins, give or take a win. That's where I see them winding up. And I think, you know, then the gnashing of teeth and the wailing will begin, and people will say, what the heck's going on? But it's the money problem. I actually think, you know, having that kind of money is not necessarily a good thing, especially if you spend it like a fantasy baseball team as opposed to a real baseball team. So there are teams that have money that have spent it wisely. You can look at the Texas Rangers, for example, which they have not the resources the Red Sox or the Yankees have, but they have significant resources, and they've spent wisely, and they've built a perennial contender. And you know, the Red Sox had their run, so there's you know, they had a good decade, but they haven't started this decade off very well. And the way last season went about and the way it ended, I mean, I've worked on enough film sets, I've worked in enough team kind of environments, not sports, although I did play sports, but I know something about teams, and I know that where there's a rot, you can't just get rid of one or two people and expect that it will magically heal itself. There's something deeper there. Being in Boston doesn't help because of the intense media pressure. So, you know, I just think there's players on that team that are not the kind of players I would want to have on my team, no matter how good their stats look on paper. And there are some good players on the team I would want to have, but that's something that I think they have to sort out, and they haven't begun that process yet. So, you know, I'm down on the Red Sox.
I see that. Well, what are you excited about? I know you said, you know, a lot of these offseason. What sort of piqued your interest? These big moves? Pujols leaving the Cardinals and Prince Fielder going to Detroit, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, no. The best story in baseball, Jamie Moyer, 49-year-old crafty left-hander coming off Tommy John surgery, is not only competing for a roster spot with the Colorado Rockies, it looks like he's going to get the fifth spot in the rotation for the Rockies. 49 years old. That's not even Nolan Ryan-esque. That's, you know, Satchel Paige kind of territory. So to me, that is such a, not only a feel-good story, it'd be a feel-good story even if he was just, you know, kind of played in spring training and thanks for coming. That's a really great baseball story because Jamie Moyer is one of those players who plays the game the right way, has the right attitude, works hard, you know, has maximized average talent. And 49 coming off Tommy John. I mean, I just love that story. So I hope he makes the rotation. I hope they don't pitch him a whole lot in Colorado because, you know, I hope he kind of gets a lot of road starts. And I hope he has a reasonably successful season. You know, he wins somewhere between 5 and 10 games and he doesn't embarrass himself. But by everyone's account, he's pitching well in the preseason. And he's never relied on a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. He relies on smarts and location. And he apparently still has, obviously, the smarts. But he can still hit his spots most of the time. So even if Colorado doesn't keep him, I think there's at least a couple of other teams that would look at Jamie Moore and say, you know, as a fifth starter and a good clubhouse influence, you know, we could do a lot worse. So, I think Jamie Moore is the story of the offseason in a good way. In an offseason that had a number of bad stories, like Ryan Braun, I think Jamie Moyer is one of those silver lining stories that you can look at and say, yeah, you know what, there's still guys who play baseball the right way. And it's funny, I have all my old baseball annuals. I kept them all. So I was looking at one from 1998 the other day. And I think, who was Moyer pitching for? I think it was the Seattle Mariners back then. And he had 89 wins and he was 35 years old. And they were saying, you know, he's a good guy to have in your staff, but his career is winding down. Now he's got 266 wins. He's 49 years old. And who knows? If he could pitch another 3 or 4 years, 300 wins, they might have to put him in the Hall of Fame just for endurance. So I just think that's a fantastic story.
All right.
Story. I'm actually smiling as I tell it because that's the kind of thing that baseball gives you that the other major sports don't give you.
See that, folks? We got Paul Kimball to smile.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, it's better than listening to the stories in the NFL about Bountygate and players in their 30s getting ALS because of repeated concussions, or Sidney Crosby spending the last 2 seasons basically concussed. Baseball has its warts, and it certainly has its bad sort of undercurrents. But it has that ability to bring out these individual stories that I don't think the other 3 major sports really have, at least not as much as baseball. So Moyer's a great story. Seeing Barry Larkin going into the Hall of Fame is a great story, because I remember Larkin, another one of those guys who played the game the right way and was just an all-around great player. And Ron Santo going in, you know, that's a good thing too. You know, those are two good off-season stories, and then the rest of it's not so much. The rest of the off-season wasn't so good.
As someone who's well-versed in legalese, what do you think of the Ryan Braun thing?
Oh, come on. Everybody and their dog knows he did it. But he got off on a technicality. And the really sad thing would be, if he didn't do it, it doesn't matter, because everybody's always going to believe that he did.
Yeah.
And I think he did. I think it's clear that he got off on a technicality. And so he's a cheater. In an era when we're supposed to have rooted that out, there's your National League Most Valuable Player, although I think Kemp should have won it, but Braun was a decent choice. And so there's your National League MVP. And what should be a feel-good story in a small market team that had a deep run in the playoffs, and wow, their best player, assuming it wasn't Prince Fielder, their two best players, Prince Fielder, he's gone, so free agency, see ya, and Ryan Braun flunked a drug test and should be serving a 50-game suspension, but somehow he wriggled out of it. That's not a good story for baseball. And it's not a good story for Ryan Braun. And if he has a nice long career from here on in, someday they're going to look back and say, well, okay, as we're considering his Hall of Fame credentials, let's put that into the mix and see what happens. So, yeah, that was not a good story. The sort of expanded playoff format, I'm not a fan of, so I didn't consider that a good story. Although, you know, I've made my peace with it, so.
Why are you not a fan?
It further dilutes the playoffs and further demeans and diminishes the importance of the regular season. I didn't even like the wild card when they brought it in, but again, I've made my peace with it.
You like Bob Costas over here.
Yeah, well, I've listened to past BOA baseball specials. I am. There's something special about baseball. I mean, the National Hockey League puts 16 teams in the playoffs. The NFL puts more teams in now. Basketball, the same thing. Baseball is moving in that direction. It is purely a revenue grab. It has nothing to do with anything other than getting more money for teams that are already awash in money. And I think it undermines the integrity of the regular season. And I think that's a mistake. Now, you know, if this is all they ever do, if this is as far as they ever take it, then, okay, I'll be able to live with it. But I do have a worry that it's the thin edge of the wedge, that in 5 or 6 or 7 years, they're going to go, well, you know, now that people have gotten used to that, let's put another team or two in. And then eventually, you're the National Hockey League, or you're the NBA, and 16 teams are in the playoffs, and what the heck is the point of playing 162 games, other than to make more money? I don't begrudge people making money unless their name is Mitt Romney, but this playoff thing, I'm not a fan. Having said that, you know, it's the way it's going to go. There's nothing I'm going to do to change it, so it took me about 10 minutes to get over it and say, all right, fine, who's going to be that extra team, you know? Who's going to make that leap into the playoffs? But I'm just not afraid, but I don't like the idea of a situation where you have a team that could rack up 105, 106 wins, play the season the whole way, and then some other team that gets 89 wins, squeaks in, wins the one-game playoff. Next thing you know, they're in the World Series and winning the World Series. That just doesn't compute for me.
Right. Paul Kimball, not a fan.
The Red Sox aren't even going to get the wild card this year, so I'm coming back to the Red Sox.
Just relax.
And here's my other two big things to watch, because I know you might have questions or you might want to get into the predictions, but two big things to watch for me. Ichiro, see whether he rebounds from his first not-so-great year in his entire Hall of Fame-worthy career, because he only hit .272, I think, last year. So I just love him as a player. He's one of those Jamie Moyer kind of guys who plays the game right. So is he on the downside of a great career, or was that a blip and he's going to bounce back and hit his usual .300 again? So I'm going to watch. To me, it's the only reason to watch the Seattle Mariners, except for Hernandez pitching. But he's such a great player that I kind of like to keep track of what Ichiro is up to.
Okay.
And then in the long term, this is the year. Or, well, this time next year will have been the year when the Hall of Fame ballot includes Clemens, Bonds, Sosa, Piazza, and all of the other PED.
That is exciting. Suspects.
And that, you know, that's kind of like knowing that you have a court date coming up. and you're on trial for your life, baseball will be on trial for its life in a sense. That entire era will then go on trial because you will have proven big-name PED users like Clemens, no matter what he says, and Bonds, the convicted one in Bonds' case, and I think Clemens is probably headed that way too. And then, you know, the question will be, well, here's two guys, based on their stats, are clear Hall of Famers. They're all-timers. What do we do with them? And that, to me, that's going to be a fascinating debate that's going to take place within baseball and within the fan base and probably even beyond baseball. And so that's the next year, and that's going to be very interesting to watch. Sadly, unfortunately, I think it will overshadow potentially Jack Morris. And if Bert Blyleven gets into the Hall of Fame, then Jack Morris should be there. And Tim Raines, who seems to have, he should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not so much a Morris fan, but Tim Raines should be in the Hall of Fame. He seemed to be on the upswing, and then all of a sudden you've got this year, boom, when all of these other great players, including Craig Biggio, who I think will get in, potentially Curt Schilling, although I think he's borderline. But you've got this massive group of players, Maddux and Glavine coming down the pike. And you look at a guy like Tim Raines and go, he finally was getting some momentum. Does this sort of stall his momentum, and does he spend the rest of his life waiting for the Veterans Committee to, you know, stick him in the Hall of Fame? So, I mean, I'm just sort of a Hall of Fame junkie, so I love watching the Hall of Fame. I like sort of debating who should be in and who shouldn't. It's kind of a Bill James thing. And this steroids or PED group of players that are coming in is going to change the debate in a way that it hasn't really been changed. Probably since they instituted the Veterans Committee and provided another pathway into the hall. So yeah, that's going to be a really big story in baseball. And here's one for you. You're old enough. You should appreciate this. You know who else is going on the Hall of Fame ballot this year?
Who?
Kenny Lofton.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Now there's a guy. When I was younger, you would look at Kenny Lofton and you would have said, you know what, he's potentially a Hall of Famer. This guy's stealing bases, getting on base, hitting for high average, pops a few home runs every now and then, and he's a gold glove center fielder. So, and his career kind of didn't get as far as it should have, but he still has really great stats. And that's the wonderful thing about baseball and the Hall of Fame to me. There's a really good player, Kenny Lofton. I mean, he's not some schmuck who's going to get off, you know, like he doesn't even deserve to be on the ballot. He's a really good, borderline great player. He has no shot of getting in the Hall of Fame. And I think that's a good thing, but I think that's just fascinating to realize that one of these guys I considered a dominant player when I was younger, you know, had a good career, but he's not going into the Hall of Fame. But here he is on the ballot, which reminds me, A, of how old I am, and B, just how good you probably have to be to get the Hall of Fame.
All right. And what's you got a breakout team to watch for this year? Pittsburgh Pirates, Kansas City Royals, Houston
no.
Astros, anyone?
No. I suppose I have three that I think are going to do better than people maybe think they do. The Blue Jays, who I think are going to make the playoffs. Most people are saying they're a year away. I think they're actually there. The Washington Nationals, again, people are saying they're a year or two away. I think they're actually there. Although I'm less confident about the Nationals, but I'm going to take a flyer on them. They're going to have a better year no matter what. And I think they're actually going to have a pretty good year. And, the Miami Marlins, which everybody kind of looks at and says, you know, they weren't all that bad to begin with, but I think they have a lot of pieces in place now. I don't like Ian, but, I think they're a playoff team too. Although, you know, could be tight. But those are three teams that I think none of them are going to the World Series, but I think all three of them are potentially playoff teams this year. I think they're playoff teams. They'll be in the playoff mix for the next 5 or 10 years. So these are three teams that will be, wow, you know, this is crazy, Tim. People talk about this non sequitur. People talk about global warming and they don't believe in it. I was out half an hour ago walking down to the corner store to get a bottle of pop. And I was just wearing a summer shirt and a fleecy little sweater. Now yeah. It's snowing out. I just looked out the window. Snowing. So I feel like I'm in Day After Tomorrow. So yeah, if you don't believe in global warming, people, you're crazy.
It's supposed to snow here tomorrow too. So yeah.
Yeah, those are the three breakout teams that I sort of see. And you know, as I see teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox entering a decline phase. I see teams like the Jays and the Nats and the Marlins entering we're on the ascendant phase.
All right. Yeah. Well, last year you came tantalizingly close to the championship, but fell one short. 1 point short, so.
I don't trust your accounting methods. I consider myself the champ in exile.
Oh, no. I did two sets of standings.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
With straight picks, that was, actually, you were in a four-way tie for first. And then,
four-way, good.
Then we had to get into the transposed picks to break the tie, and Jason Offutt came out on top, so.
Well,
yeah.
What are you going to do? Teams that let me down.
Well, the good thing about this new playoff system, which you should appreciate, is that hopefully it will break all these tiebreakers, serve as a way of breaking the ties in our league.
Yeah, that's exactly why Major League Baseball should have instituted it.
Exactly.
Banal's America Baseball Spectacular, now we can break the ties. Thank you, Bud Selig.
That's how they should bill it, yeah.
You know, Greg Bishop and Adam Goerrightly are on steroids, by the way. They're using steroids, and they still can't seem to do very well on this thing.
So. All right, are you ready to do the predictions?
It's like putting David Segee on steroids. What's the difference between 8 home runs and 11? Yeah. Ready to do the prediction.
All right. Just as a caveat, obviously, no, you know, you only get points for the correct picks, but the wild cards aren't weighted. So, you know, if you say Red Sox and Jays, whatever, you know, for the two wild cards, you don't have to get them in the right order.
Oh, well, that's a big relief. Wow, that makes my day.
Hey, dude, I'm just giving you the rules as the commissioner, okay?
Rules. We Canadians don't abide by no stinking rules.
All right. Let's start with the American League East. Who you got?
Tampa Bay Rays.
All right.
Love the pitching staff. They might have the best pitching staff in Major League Baseball, 5 deep.
They are a tremendous pitching team.
And as you'll see going through my picks, being an ex-pitcher myself, most of my picks are heavily weighted to teams that actually can pitch as opposed to teams that hit. So,
pitching and defense wins championships.
Unless you've got David Freese on your team, absolutely.
All right. The American League Central.
Comes back to pitching. Detroit Tigers.
All right.
Now, that's a toss-up division, but the Tigers, you know, now that they've got Fielder, they have offense. If you can anchor your rotation with Justin Verlander, you're already halfway there.
Yeah. Okay. The American League West.
I don't like them, but the Texas Rangers. It'd be fun to watch Yu Darvish, too, just to see how good he is.
Okay. You don't like why don't you like the Rangers?
I don't know. I don't dislike the Rangers. I don't like them. I was happy St. Louis beat them. You know, they're just one of those teams that go, you know.
Okay.
They don't do anything for me, one way or another. So
that's how I feel about St. Louis.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way about St. Louis, too, although St. Louis has the benefit of being one of those classy old-school teams.
Yeah.
So, for me, that trumps. Plus, the David Freese stuff, honestly, in my entire lifetime, except maybe for the 86 World Series, which ended badly for my team, but still, you know, I think last year's World Series was even better than the 86 series for excitement. Just that game. I mean, I watched it. I was just like, wow, yelling every 5 or 10 minutes. Like, how can this happen? How can this happen? Crazy stuff.
Right.
So we lived through a great World Series.
We did. And the last day of the season was tremendous too, with those two,
yes,
you know, win or go home games.
It was
tremendous.
I can't think of, I mean, it was a perfect World Series and then boom, Ryan Braun. Anyway, we're beyond that.
All right, the two wild cards, who you got?
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Okay.
Another great starting rotation, plus now they have Albert Pujols.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be in L.A. this summer, so I'm kind of hoping to actually get down to Anaheim to see a game or two. I always go see Dodgers games with Greg, but I've only ever seen one Angels game. So yeah, the Angels. And the other wild card, the Toronto Blue Jays.
All right, so you're taking some risks here, going a little outside the box, but I like it.
Well, after all these years, I figured I finally have a chance to pick the Canadian team to make the playoffs. And they, you know what? The Jays are the Rays. They're the new Rays. They've done everything right. They've built from the ground up. They've acquired good young assets and good young pitching. And, you know, Jose Bautista, how can you not like that guy? He's going to pop another 40 home runs this year. He's just a really good player. So, yeah, they got a shot.
All right. In the National League East.
Well, it's kind of the Darth Vader pick, but how can you not pick the Phillies? Again, pitching rotation. I think Halliday, Lee, and Hamels might all win 20 games. You know, one of them will, They all have the potential to do that. So, the Phils are just that good.
Yeah, they're turning into like the Braves of the 90s.
Yeah, and I think I didn't pick them last year, so, and they won. So I think that cost me the championship, so I'm not making that mistake twice.
All right. You blame them, is what you're saying.
I do, yes.
I'll check right now, actually. Let me see. I think you did pick them, but...
Did I? I thought I picked against them.
Let me see. Paul Kimball. Yeah, you did pick against them. You didn't even have them in the playoffs.
Exactly. See? Look what happened. That cost me the title.
Big mistake.
Well, because that should have been an easy pick. That was one of my out-of-the-box picks. So if I end up tied and losing a playoff again this year, and it's the Jays that do me in, well, then we'll know. Fool me once, shame on you.
How about the National League Central? You went outside the box last year, and it worked out for you. You had the Brewers, and they did pretty well for you. But what's your thoughts here for 2012 on the Central?
True, but the Brewers weren't as outside the box as not picking the Phillies, which was just stupid. Cincinnati Reds. I think they're going to have a bounce back year.
All right. Interesting.
Because people forget they were a pretty good team the year before last. And then they had an off year, but the talent's still there. I really like Joey Votto and what I think might be his last season in Cincinnati. He's got a contract year coming up. And, you know, the division's been weakened. Milwaukee is not the same team without Fielder, and who knows what effect this thing will have on Braun. And St. Louis, you know, without Tony La Russa and Albert Pujols, of course. So you've got two teams that were in the playoffs taking a step back,
right?
And I think Cincinnati's going to bounce back.
Yeah, it's a much weaker division now. It was already a weak, kind of lousy division anyway, so.
Yeah, with the World Series champion.
That's how it happens.
In the championship series, beat the other team from that weak, lousy division, so.
That's true. Well, you know, those St. Louis Cardinals, they somehow find a way to stumble their way into a championship every, like, fucking 8 years. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. It's those, you know, it's those little red birds. They're dastardly little communist birds.
That could be true. Now, what about the National League West?
Much to the chagrin of my dear friend Greg Bishop, the San Francisco Giants.
All right.
Another bounce-back team. Take a look at the pitching staff, and Buster Posey's healthy. So,
we did get that guy from, I was talking about this with Go Rightly, Cody Ross. I think he's going to be a great addition to the Sox.
Yeah, you're still on the Sox thing, aren't you?
I'm just telling you. Keep an eye out for him.
Not going to happen, man.
All right.
But the Giants are, we'll come back to them, because we'll come back to them.
All right. So the two wildcard teams, who you got?
Okay. On my new website, my personal one, the paranormal section is under a heading called Outside the Box. So here comes my Outside the Box baseball moment. The Washington Nationals, or as I like to call them, the Montreal Expos in exile. So just write Montreal Expos on your website.
All right.
In exile. And it pains me to say this, given that I hate Ozzie Guillen, the Miami Marlins.
All right.
I love seeing Hanley Ramirez and Reyes on the same side of that infield, and I think the Marlins, you know, I think they'll edge out a couple of other reasonably mediocre teams. I think the Nationals will too. I mean, the wild card pool, you've got a couple of really good teams, and then you'll have the Brewers, the Cards, the D-backs, maybe the Dodgers, not the Rockies, but because they burned me last year too. But you'll have a few teams in that wild card mix, and I think those will be the two the Braves too. Those will be the two teams that'll squeak out.
All right, now who you got to take the American League pennant?
This reminds me, too. I just mentioned the Braves. Another good story this year, and before I forget, Chipper Jones' final season in the Major League, in Major League Baseball. Another one of those players who plays the game right, so that'll be fun to watch, too.
All right.
What'd you say? Who do I get in the American League?
Yeah.
I got the Tampa Bay Rays over the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, or whatever the heck they call themselves.
All right. You got the Rays going back to the World Series. Interesting. Okay.
Shields, Helixson, Matt Moore, David Price, and when your fifth starter is a guy who went 11-7 last year, I think you had a pretty good pitching staff. So I think pitching wins out for the Rays this year.
Okay. And on the National League side?
This will pain my good friend, Greg Bishop, but I have the San Francisco Giants over the Philadelphia Phillies in what will be an amazing pitcher's duel.
All right.
Kane, Baumgartner versus Halliday, Lee, Hamels. That's the kind of series I'm looking forward to watching.
Okay. And then who do you have winning it all, the Rays or the Giants?
I have the Tampa Bay Rays.
Wow.
Not your American League East team that you would expect, but I have the Tampa Bay Rays beating the San Francisco Giants for the World Series title. Love Joe Maddon. Great manager. I think this is the year he sort of pulls some magic rabbits out of his hat. The pitching all comes together. That they're a team that's built to make, you know, a deep run, not every year, but every 2 or 3 years. And I think this is the year where they're going to make a run and then keep going.
So all right.
This is their year.
Kimble backs the Rays, folks.
There you go.
All right. We will put your predictions in the vault, and we'll let you know how you do next year.
Yes.
How do you feel?
I feel good.
Those are good picks. I got to make my picks now, so.
I'm even happy that I'm not picking the Red Sox, because you know what? I think every now and then a team needs to get whacked over the head, and I think the Red Sox, and I'm a fan, but I think I don't want them to make the playoffs, because I think they need structural changes. I think a year or two of really losing will help them, and then I think they can rebuild in the right way, and then they'll be perennial contenders again. So, yeah, a little pain, short-term pain, for the long-term gain. That's what I'm looking forward to for the Red Sox. And the Yankees, I don't know, I hope their team plane gets lost over the Pacific somewhere.
Nice, Bermuda Triangle style.
Yeah. You know, not that they would be killed, but they would be kind of a lost.
Disappear, vanish, yeah.
Exactly. Show up in an alternate dimension where they can hang out with, you know, I don't know, all the old Yankees teams from the past.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So that's your that's our discussion here for baseball for the year. Anything people should keep an eye out for? You've mentioned your website a couple times, so give out the URL for that and anything you want to plug coming up.
Sure. The personal website, www.beyonderstv.com. That's my personal home, and if you go to because this is a paranormal-related show, the Outside the Box section contains various writings about the paranormal. If you go to the film section, you can see most of my films, like the Stan Friedman film or Ghost Cases or that TV series or whatever. So there is paranormal material there. It's just, it's not the focus. And my feature film, yeah, keep an eye out for that. We start filming in the fall. You can check out the website at Rubicon, as in Julius Caesar's Rubicon, RubiconTheMovie.com. At the moment, starring Natalie Dormer of the Tudors fame.
Oh.
And appearing in Game of Thrones now, too. As well as Luke Treadaway, a great young British actor who was in a sci-fi film called Attack the Block, which some of your listeners might know. And Francesca Annis, who was Lady Jessica in Dune.
Exciting. All right.
And also Lady Macbeth in Polanski's classic version of Macbeth. So, yeah, no, the cast has come together great. My partners in the United Kingdom are fantastic guys. And, we're going to do it right this time. And, that's the most exciting thing on my plate at the moment. So.
Excellent. All right, folks. Well, go check those websites out and keep on following Paul Kimble. He's just burning the midnight oil on Facebook. So if you're not if you're not friends with Paul Kimble on Facebook, then your timeline is vastly underrepresented.
Yeah, it's my social media hub. It's like a Cylon hub. That's where my Cylons hang out. That's the home hub.
Oh yeah,
Tina Senna will appreciate that.
Anytime we can get a Tina Senna shout out, it's a good thing.
Yeah, there you go. I'm like Tony Kornheiser at the end of Pardon the Interruption. Tina Senna shout out. Yeah. I'm going to wave my Canadian flag. It's perfect.
Exactly.
Wilbon loses. You've been it's a corntacular. I love that show. Whenever they play the thing and he goes, "You've been cornized," or whatever. He's a funny guy.
That's my favorite show, actually. One of my favorite shows. Watch it every day.
I just like hearing Reality. When he's not even on screen, they say something funny and you'll hear him yell from the background. You know, it's just like this off-camera thing, or he'll laugh. If people don't listen or watch PTI, they should. If you like sports,
show. It's an excellent show. All right, Paul, well, thanks for coming back for the baseball special. Good luck with the predictions, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks for having me, and thanks to the BOA audience for listening.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
continuing onward, ladies and gentlemen, with the 2012 BOA Audio Baseball Special. This time around, we're welcoming our old friend Greg Bishop, who continues to push the record number of appearances on BOA Audio further and further into the distance. And we're here to talk about baseball, a lot of big news surrounding his beloved Dodgers, so lots to discuss. Welcome back to the show, Greg. It has barely been some time since we last chatted about it on, around the end of the year.
Yeah, first I thought you were going to say continuing his, and I thought you were getting something like, you know, almost guessing almost doing well in the baseball predictions, but I think only did well the first year.
Yeah, it wasn't a particularly good showing for you, but you did receive the Silver Slugger Award, the Adam Gorightly Silver Slugger Award. For, you were the only one to actually pick the Cardinals to make it to the National League championship. You had them to win the National League pennant. No one else did, so sort of a, you know,
a booby prize or something.
Exactly.
Where's my Silver Slugger? Is it in the mail or?
It's hypothetical.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I don't know. Stuff's been disappearing in the mail recently, so maybe you shouldn't send it.
Uh-oh. So I guess, I don't know, we had you on actually for the end of the year, and it's already April, but, you know, what have you been up to in the last few months? Anything exciting that people should know about before we get into the baseball talk?
Probably not from the paranormal perspective. I've had no jobs for 11 months, then I had two jobs, so I had time to do nothing else. Then last week, one of the jobs laid me off, which is fine, because that wasn't the full-time job. And now I just got the one job, and I'm going to be speaking and moderating and maybe emceeing at the next actual retro UFO conference, which is being planned and will take place on June 23rd in Landers, California at the Integratron.
Awesome. So it's going to be a revival of that event.
Yeah. The organizer, who I know very well, Barbara Harris, she... for some reason, she got this wild hair and said, "Well, I lost a ton of money on the first three. Let's do another one." And you know, anybody that tries to do any kind of paranormal UFO event knows that, you know, 99.9 times out of 100, you're going to lose money on it.
Right, right.
So she's
a perilous adventure.
Yeah. So she's trying really hard this time, not, you know, to put on a good show. Mainly it's going to be more like a party for people. Just there'll be music there from cool bands, and nobody haranguing you, no big you know, 2 hour long lectures about everything, or not even an hour. Just kind of bits and pieces and short pieces, and the longest thing is going to be a panel with various researchers, me and Adam Gorightly and Walter Bosley and this Hollywood producer guy who's been studying UFO stuff and hasn't really said it. He's a casting director.
Yeah.
Hasn't really said anything about it in years. He's just one of those people in the background that kind of really knows their stuff, so that'll be interesting.
Nice.
Then maybe a couple other people, depending on who says yes. We're trying to get Nick to come, so we'll see.
Awesome, awesome. All right, folks, so stay tuned for that. Now, the big news coming out of L.A. here broke just last week. Is the sale of the Dodgers, $2 billion. I can't believe that. You must have been
stunned. I think it was 2.1 something.
Unbelievable. That guy made a fortune, dude.
Yeah, that your buddy from Boston. The parking lot king from Boston. Yeah, you know what? I've heard people on both sides. Yeah, if you want to talk about any baseball stuff in detail, I know a lot of, you know, have a lot of opinions about this situation in Los Angeles. The rest of the country, not so much. Maybe, you know, vague rivalry thing with Angels and San Francisco and maybe Arizona. But the thing was that one side of the equation, which is like almost everybody, they're like, you know, what a dick. How dare he make that much money? You know, and run the team so badly. Well, he didn't actually run the team badly. They actually went to the playoffs, I think, 3 of the 4 years he owned it.
Yeah, they had a pretty good run for a while.
They were doing pretty well. The thing is, in the background, he was, like, spending money wantonly on junk left and right for his family and using Dodgers money that he had leveraged anyway to buy the team to try and buy other stuff and shore up some of his other investments. And it was just terrible. So I will tell you, the last game of the season, the home game, where we knew the Dodgers weren't in it, and, you know, so big deal. I sat on the club level, which is like, you know, where all the offices are and everything.
Yeah.
And as my wife and I are leaving, we see Frank McCourt, the owner, standing like 20 feet away from us, talking to somebody and like yakking it up and laughing. And we both stood there, like staring at him for a second. We're just thinking, should we go over and like punch him or say something, you know, go buy a hot dog and shove it in his face, or, you know, what should we do? And then we just kind of looked at each other and said, you know what, it's not even worth it. And we left. And I still think that was the right decision. I did really want to go over and say something, like, how could you, and then just leave. But
he probably gets that a lot anyway.
And the other side of the equation is, well, the guy made an investment. He you know, as a business decision and a businessman, he really pulled it out.
Yeah.
You know, he's I think it was partly luck, which is a lot of business, but I think he knew what he was doing. I don't think he had any long-term plans to be with the Dodgers. He must not have, because he started spending money on everything else.
Right.
So I think he just looked at it as a business opportunity, and he did well at it. And I hate him for it, and I still think he's a dick and all that, but as a business decision, it was great. You can't deny that.
Now, do you know much about these new owners? Are you enthused, or I know all this Magic Johnson-ness of it all?
Yeah, well, they keep sticking his name up there, and everybody that reads anything about it knows that he's probably the smallest investor in it.
Right, that's what I figured. He's probably like,
you know, it's probably 5% his money.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, 99% his image in front of it, which is probably why apart from the fact that they bid really high, that they were kind of favorites in the beginning and the running. Like, I don't know if Mark Cuban was in there, but like really early. And then there were, Joe Torre had a group of people around, that was going for it. And then the Disney family, I think, had a group going. And there was what I was really scared was that some Chinese group would buy the team. I'm like, oh God, no. You can't have other countries owning baseball teams. It's just not right.
I thought the Japanese owned the Mariners.
They do, and I don't think that's right. I don't. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not racist or what's the word?
Xenophobic?
Xenophobic or, you know, ethnocentric or anything like that. America, or I'm not even that horribly patriotic, at least in the political sense, but it seems kind of wrong to me to have, you know, foreign countries owning American baseball teams. It just, or not foreign countries, but foreign interests.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even care if the team does well or not. It just, you know, if the Mariners go to the World Series, I still think it's wrong. I don't like it, but, you know, what am I going to say? It should be illegal. Well, it probably shouldn't be illegal. Every other, you know, a bunch of businesses, lots of businesses, scores of them are owned by foreign companies. And just having the Chinese both own us and own the Dodgers would have been, like, the worst. So I'm glad they didn't get it. And I think they bid that high just because they – it was, you know, everyone's like, why did they pay so much? Why did they pay so much? You know, when you go on eBay and you want something really bad, and at some point it just becomes, I want the thing. I don't really care if I'm paying way too much for it. That's what happened. They just wanted to own it.
Right.
So they just said, here, nobody's going to match this, and nobody could.
Exactly, yeah. So just like, they were so gung-ho about it that they just went crazy to make sure that they were the...
Yeah, and the other, God, I can't remember all the investors, but the main one is like a Guggenheim business fund or something.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah. So.
Based in Chicago, which is bad enough, but that's all right. And the new GM is going to be Stan Kasten, who like lifted up the Braves when they were real hot. He's gotten the Nationals pretty much to where they are. You know, Jason Worth, notwithstanding. And
now these guys take over right away? Is this like all set and done now? Are they already in charge, or is it like a transition period?
I think as of, they had to okay it by April, the end of March. So it must be a done deal now because all the papers and everything had to be signed by March 31st.
All right.
I believe. So now it's a done deal. So they're going to start moving in and all that, and we're going to go to opening day, and about 2 to 3 years, we might go to the World Series. Well, once we start pulling a Yankees and raiding everybody else.
Well, the whole Magic Johnson thing seems so weird, though, because it's like, it's just so antithetical or odd for, I know he's like one of the biggest celebrities in LA or whatever, but it's like, but he's like a basketball Hall of Famer, and now he's owning a baseball team.
Yeah, well, after he retired and, you know, got HIV and retired, he started, like, all these businesses. He owns Magic Johnson Theaters and a bunch of Starbucks and stuff like that. He's not stupid. He knows what the hell he's doing.
Oh, no, I know that. I just mean, like, for a basketball player to own a baseball team, it's just weird.
Well, you know, well, I guess weirder things, you know, it'd be far worse for, a bunch of South African people or Russian mafia people or, the Chinese or whatever. I far prefer Magic Johnson. It's not weird to me. It's not weird to anybody in L.A. It's just, you know, people come from outside of L.A., they reinvent themselves, and they do whatever they want to do. So I guess this kind of fits in with it.
Well, on that note, what do you think about Albert Pujols coming to your fair city?
He didn't come to our fair city. He's in Anaheim.
Oh, all right. Well, I thought they were the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Yeah, well, that was a marketing decision, which still pisses off everybody here. In fact, maybe the new owners can really actually get to the point where they can sue them properly, because McCourt never did it. I think they should take him to court somehow. I believe it was struck down, but if you have enough money, you can make a case for anything. But because you can't trademark a city. It's public. It's like taking a picture of a building. You can't have somebody come out and tell you can't take a picture of a building because it's public.
Right.
And you can name your whatever you have Los Angeles anything, including a multi-million dollar sports team. So, but maybe they can make a case that there's a marketing thing there and that they can't call themselves the Los Angeles Angels. I don't know why they'd want to do it in the first place. I mean, like. Aren't they greedy enough? They have to try and get fans from Los Angeles, or do they have to let people? Nobody knows what Anaheim is. I grew up there, so I know, and most people in Southern California know, and most people from around the world, if they know anything, know that Disneyland's
That's
there.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. How far away from LA is it?
Like 30 miles.
All right, so it's like
the Oakland Athletics of San Francisco. Like, no. What? Why? Or what? Yeah, well, now it would have been the other way around 10 years ago. But
so what? Beyond that, what are your thoughts on Pujols coming to the region?
I'd have rather seen him in the Dodgers, but that's the only thought. Besides the fact that I think it'll carry them far, of course.
Yeah.
Who else did they pick up? Dan Heron, I think?
C.J. Wilson from the Rangers.
Okay.
Yeah, they reloaded. They look like it's going to be a battle there in the West.
Yeah. I'm still not going to go to any games down there, I unless the Dodgers are playing. I have gone to a few games, like when Paul Kimball was here, we went to a couple games there.
Now, were the Dodgers hampered by all this sale talk and change and business and all that to do anything
in the
offseason?
They couldn't really do anything. It was just kind of in limbo until they found out what was going on.
They did re-sign Matt Kemp, though, right?
Yes, they re-signed Matt Kemp and Kershaw and, you know, and then next year, Loney, who nobody cares about, is probably going to go. And Ethier, who a lot of people like and care about, is probably going to go because he wants to go somewhere else to whine. And I can't remember else is free agent this next year, but yeah, I think the Dodgers are going to go deep just because their stars, a couple of them have something to prove. And the new guy, D. Gordon, the shortstop, that guy kicks ass. He's got a lot to prove, and he proved part of it last year. It's going to be fun watching him steal bases left and right.
So you feel good about the team then, you're saying?
Yeah, I feel good about it. I don't think they're going to go anywhere, you know, near the World Series or get very deep, but I think they're going to go pretty far.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd asked me about the Cardinals last year, I would have been really, I never would have thought the Cardinals would do anything, so.
Yeah, well, you know how I am about baseball. I sort of pay attention. Well, I pay very close attention to Southern California. I sort of pay attention to the NL and AL West, and I pay almost no attention to the rest of the country unless something, you know, really groundbreaking is going on, like Prince Fielder going to the Tigers or whatever.
Yeah. What do you think of that whole thing, all these shifts around, guys leaving? A lot of people leaving the National League, going to the American League. It's going to be tougher for us in the American League.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I hope so. I mean, only in the last few years as the National League started winning series.
Oh, what do you think of this? Because I know that you're sort of a purist in a sense, and we've talked before about your dislike of the DH.
Yes.
And how next year, not this year, but next year, they're going to have interleagues going to be going on all season long. You heard about that whole thing?
No, I didn't even hear about that. See what I said just about a minute ago about how much I paid attention? But that's interesting.
Yeah, it's part of the collective bargaining, the new deal. They're switching the Astros to the American League.
Right.
And then it's going to be balanced 15 teams in each league, and they're going to have interleague all year round.
So
it looks like every team, I bet you every team plays every team. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like that.
I don't know if apart from the logistics of what you just said and the economics of it and the tradition of it and all that, I don't know if I have too much to say about that, but maybe it's just because it's been this way my whole life, or the life I have watching baseball, which has only been about 10 years. I'm not sure I really like it. Why do I want to see a parade of different teams coming through every week?
Right, right. It's going to be a huge change. If anything, it'll be more for discussion on the 2013 episode, but I find it interesting.
Get more used to the idea. I think maybe the airlines are really happy about it.
I'm sure some of these sort of like scrub teams are like, you know, like the Pittsburgh Pirates are probably psyched if they get to play the Yankees and the Red Sox one series every year.
Yeah, and have the floor wiped with them, yeah.
You know, as long as you sell the tickets,
Oh boy, I'll get to see the Royals finally.
Exactly. Well, I can't think of too much other real baseball stuff that I can ask you about that has been going on this offseason, so.
Well, I wish I could bring more up. I mean, the main story was that, was
the main
LA.
Story was the sale, yeah. They were hampered by all that.
So, you know, Boston and New York, and maybe the White Sox and the Cubs, their value all went up. I think New York's value went up by like three times just because of that sale.
Oh, like it just drove, yeah. Like when
because
some free agents
signed. Those are the only teams that have the media deal, you know, the TV, radio, et cetera deals to justify those kind of prices. And if they can justify that in Los Angeles, they, you know, the New York is the biggest market, right? Or the Northeast, combined Boston, New York, is the biggest market. So those teams' value just, like, increased exponentially. And that it kind of pushed everything into a different level. I hope it means, well, it can't. There's nothing bad about this for Los Angeles Dodgers at all. I can't think of a bad thing about it. Because people say, oh, they spent all the money on the team. Okay, you buy a team and you want, you know, you get your TV deal and, you know, all that. Who's going to watch a losing team?
Right, right.
It's stupid to think that. Oh, they spent all the money on the team and I only left for player development. Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah, they're not just going to buy the, yeah, exactly.
Almost certain they have more than any other team right now to start building again and build the farm system, which is something that Caston says he wants to build up again. Because he did that with Atlanta, and that's how they got. God, who came up out of the farm in Atlanta?
Chipper Jones.
Yeah, and a couple of their pitchers, I think.
I'm sure, yeah.
Did Maddox come out of their farm?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I'd have to look at that company.
Anyway,
but, you know, Moltz and all those guys.
Anyway, I'm glad that he's going to build the farm system up again because like 10 years ago, I think it was the best one in baseball or very near the top. Now it's like in the middle somewhere, at least ranked.
Well, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. They're in flux right now, but I have a feeling they'll be major players now. We've seen the Rangers emerge as major players now. They have new ownership.
Yeah, the 2 days after the sale, I actually wore something that said Dodgers on it, which I've been embarrassed to do for the past couple of years.
Are you going to be going to any games this year?
Yeah, we got the little package of 25 games, and so we've picked a bunch of different ones. We got opening day. Opening day is a week from tomorrow.
Wow.
Because they're going to open in San Diego on Thursday.
Right, and then they come back around to L.A. on Tuesday.
Yeah, so I think their rotation, obviously they're going to fix the rotations. I don't know how many they're playing down there, even if they're playing two or three. They're going to fix the rotation so Kershaw opens here. He has to. I mean, there's no way around it. And the funny thing is, who are they opening with? The Pirates.
Oh, boy.
I think it's the it's not the Phillies, it's the Pirates. Like, you know why? No more Brian Stowe incidents.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. That was pretty gruesome. What happened to that guy?
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing they kind of pinned on McCourt, which you can because their security was lax. And also, and my wife pointed this out, which was kind of amazing, the game ended at night. What the hell do you think people are going to do when it gets dark?
Yeah.
You know, they played it against the biggest rival. Everybody hates them for whatever stupid reason. And there's a bunch of idiots there yelling. I heard San Francisco fans yelling stuff. I said, they're going to get the crap beat out of them. What are they, stupid?
Yeah, I don't understand.
He may have been one of the people that was yelling. He doesn't deserve to be beaten within an inch of his life or even punched. But, you know, the some of the San Francisco bands were just as bad.
Right, right. Well, there's a certain, like, weird attitude with some people, and I'm not saying it was this guy or anything, but you certainly see it where it's, like, almost like a purposeful antagonism that's, like, foolhardy. It's like, what are you, an idiot? Why would you, you know...
Yeah.
They'll go,
what's
like,
wrong with
decked
your
out
life?
In their team's colors and shit like that, and it's like, it's like, dude, you're going to the other stadium, just be, you know, you can be a fan of your team, I wouldn't draw too much attention to it, because people drink at these things, and they're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the other thing, and it's just, I can't believe there wasn't more that happened, and there probably was, but we just never heard about it, because that guy went into a coma.
Right, right. There's probably plenty of people who get, like, black eyes and broken noses and shit that you don't even hear about, but...
I used to see fights all the time. After that, last year, the security was beefed up considerably. Too little, too late. But this year, you know, they're starting it, so the game, they're going to start it at 1 o'clock, so it ends in the daylight. Because last year they started it at, like, 3 or 4 or something. We were thinking, what the hell are they doing this for? It's opening day.
Yeah.
Not opening night.
So, bad enough they moved it all to Thursdays now. At least you got your opening day.
Well, ours is Tuesday. It used to be Monday. I mean, every year it's been Monday. This year it's Tuesday. I don't know why. Anyway, I think it's all in furtherance of, you know, not having people get agitated. I mean, who's going to get mad at Pirates fans? At least in L.A., I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, okay, most likely the Dodgers are going to mow them down and the whatever few fans there are from Pittsburgh are going to be go quietly, and it's not going to be any big deal.
Right, right, right. You presume they're at least pretty respectful.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is you're hardly going to have any of them there because, you know, San Francisco, they can just drive down here.
Right, exactly.
You can have tons of people. I see people wearing San Francisco stuff at non-San Francisco games. I don't know what's wrong with them, but that's what they do.
That's that antagonism-ness.
I guess it is. They just want to... Whatever. I mean, when I go to see games in other stadiums, if the Dodgers play somewhere else, I don't wear Dodgers stuff because I don't want people bothering me, looking at me, throwing things at me.
Exactly.
I would just rather be anonymous.
Exactly.
I will cheer and they'll find out that I'm rooting for my home team, but I don't, you know, I don't advertise it
right.
On my body.
Oh boy. All right. Are you ready for the predictions?
Yeah.
Don't sound so excited. Anyone could win. Now, you know how they added an extra wild card team this year, right?
Yes, that's right.
So I think that will break all the tiebreakers we've had in the past. And for the record, the wild cards, they're not weighted. So if you pick, like, two teams, no matter who came in first for wild card, second for wild card, doesn't matter.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, so you don't have to be that specific on wild cards, like who came in first and second, that shit. All right. Since you're a National Leaguer, we'll start in the National League. Let's go with the National League East. Who you got?
For playoffs?
Yeah.
What did I put here? Phillies, Braves.
Which one?
Oh, who will win it?
Who do you have winning the National League East? Yeah.
National League, okay. What did I put down? Phillies, Braves. You know what? Everybody's all hot in the Phillies and this and that, and they've been really good, so I'm going to go with Braves.
All right. In the Central?
Brewers, Cards. Go with Cards. Unfortunately, I'd like the Brewers to do something, but I think they're not going to make it.
All right. So St. Louis, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. And in the West?
I was going to say D-backs in San Francisco, but I just can't. So I'm going to say D-backs, Dodgers, and there's really not much question there that Diamondbacks are a lot better set up than the Dodgers, so it'll be Diamondbacks.
All right. What, did you have it narrowed down to two or something on all these?
Well, I said mine was who's going to play and who's going to win for the divisions.
Okay, so like who's going to be in it, you mean?
Yeah. It's like the National League West will come down to D-backs and Dodgers. The Diamondbacks will win it.
All right.
Central will be Brewers and Cardinals. Cardinals will win it that way.
Okay, I understand now. I was just confused.
Yeah.
And then who do you have for the two wild cards?
For National League?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't write those down. Oh, you know what? Giants for wild card. And Marlins.
All right. Nice. Nice. Like that. Taking some chances here. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. And
it'll be, and since I can't say Giants, I'll say Marlins over Giants.
All right. In the American League East.
AL East. Okay, I'll stop. No, I want to say who. Boston, Tampa, and Boston's in it so many times, but what's, I think their pitching is down a little bit or something like that.
Yeah.
My exact reasoning. Boston, Tampa, and I said Tampa because Tampa hasn't been in it in a while. Well, they've sort of been in it, but never very far.
Right. They're sort of touch and go.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's give them a chance this year and say Tampa.
Okay. In the American League Central?
Twins and Tigers, and because of the Prince Fielder effect, Tigers.
All right. And in the American League West?
I can't even read my writing. Oh, Angels. Does that say Mariners? Angels, Mariners, Angels, of course.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't make me happy to say it, but Angels. I mean, God, they've overloaded. What the hell? How could you get around it?
Exactly. And who do you have for the wild card in the American League?
I'm going to say Yankees wild card. That's really stupid. And Rays, and since nobody likes the Yankees, I'll say Rays.
No, you already picked the Rays for the American League East.
Did I? Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Okay, then Sox.
All right. So Yankees.
Yankees, Sox, and it's Sox.
Well, there's two wild cards. So you picking them both?
Oh, yeah, why not? Oh, you mean of all the AL. Oh, okay,
right.
Then I will expand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rangers probably still okay, so I will say Rangers as wild card.
Okay, so who are the two then for wild card? Rangers and Red Sox?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I meant. Sorry, I was going back to the other one was Red Sox. Yeah.
Okay. And then who do you have winning the whole National League?
Huh?
Who do you have winning the whole National League?
Diamondbacks.
Wow. Okay.
They're deep, man. I think they're going to do really well.
Interesting choice. All right. Well, we are talking to the Silver Slugger Award winner for the National League, so you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like I know what I'm talking about. I think my baseball picks are like, you know, probably 75% emotion and 25% actually taking a look at things.
That's a, you know, get those percentages almost right there.
Really? It's probably even higher. It's probably even higher on the emotional side. Anyway.
And who do you have coming out of the American League?
Angels.
All right. So an Angels Diamondbacks World Series?
Yes.
And who do you have winning it all?
Unfortunately, the Angels.
All right. Some bold choices, some interesting choices. But I think we're going to have a good year all around, with a lot of people making different choices this year. So it's going to be a pretty topsy-turvy prediction contest.
Do I got to wait until the show comes out of here what other people said?
I'll probably compile them like this week and post them, send them around.
Yeah, I don't know. I've angels. I feel very strong. I mean, I don't like it, like I said, but God, they've overloaded. So,
right. They have high expectations. Sometimes that works out. Sometimes it's a nightmare.
Yeah, sometimes they've they choke. But their pitching's great, and they added Pujols to a bunch of other good hitters, and they're not that old, and so I think they're poised.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll put your picks in the vault. And what do we have to look forward from you in 2012, aside from the Russia UFO convention? Anything else going on?
I've got a project I'm working on with Go Rightly, and I'm just going to keep doing my show and posting them. I'm putting up today a long-lost, rare Bill Moore interview from, like, 6 years ago.
Awesome. And folks can find out about that at RadioMysterioso.com, of course.
Yes. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Well, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks once again for coming on the baseball special. Best of luck in the predictions contest, and I'll be keeping a close eye on what your Dodgers do now that they're under new auspices.
Yeah, now that they're richer than anybody. So we'll see what happens. I don't. That doesn't guarantee anything, as everybody knows. But we'll see.
Exactly. All right. Have a good spring and summer, my friend.
You too. Thanks, Tim.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we continue onward here with the BOA Audio 2012 Baseball Special. And joining me now, once again, I think this is his... Well, you've been on all the baseball specials, so it's probably your fifth appearance here to talk baseball. And he's been on numerous times in the program to talk about the world of crackpot history. And he's got a new book out titled Happy Trails to High Weirdness, A Conspiracy Theorist's Tour Guide, which he'll be talking about later on BOA Audio Season 7. I'm talking about the crackpot historian himself, Adam Go Rightly. Welcome back to the baseball special, my friend.
Thank you, Tim. As always, I am humbled and honored to be on your august program.
Spanning the
globe for, they used to say on Wide World of Sports, I don't know, anyway.
Yeah. We're reaching out to all the baseball fans and all the disgruntled paranormal listeners who are wondering why I'm putting out this baseball show in the middle of my downtime, but just sit back and enjoy it, folks. It's going to be a good time. Now, what happened to your beloved Giants here? They went from the penthouse to the outhouse this past season, dude. What, you know?
Well, I wouldn't say the outhouse.
Well, they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, they weren't in last place, though.
That's true. Well, all right.
Buster got busted up. Well, they had injuries. Panda was injured for a while, and they just didn't. They sucked, actually. They did. They had the worst... some of the worst hitting in the history of baseball, but even with that, their pitching kept them in it at least three quarters of the season until that the poor hitting caught up with them. So, yeah, they were pretty awful. It was injuries.
All right. Well, you brought up the injury there to the catcher. That was quite the story for a while there in the sports news cycle. What did you think of that whole thing? Are you outraged like the GM was, who said that people should beat him up or some crazy shit like that?
Well, that, yeah. Brian Sabian, I forget what he said, but he retracted those statements. You know, it was kind of a spur in the heat of the moment. What the hell did he say?
I think he said he should like never be allowed on the diamond again or something crazy
that might what eventually happened. I forget what the guy's name was, but I don't think he's in the majors now. But no, everybody got a, you know, Posey was the, you know, he was a big reason they won the World Series. And you get a couple months into the season, it's like, holy crap, this is some serious stuff here, you know, career-threatening injury. So, yeah, I think most fans were, and, you know, people on the Giants were pretty fired up there initially until cooler heads prevail.
Right.
You know, those things happen. It's like Pete Rose in that All-Star game way back when. Everybody thought what a cool, heroic dude he was for blowing up the catcher. I think his name was Ray Fossey. We're going back. This is screwing the demographics all up, but, you know.
Yeah, all like they aren't already.
Yeah, if it had, you know, if this had been in the playoffs, too, or the World Series, and it was Pujols or some other big star taking out Posey, they would have said, oh, what a hard-nosed, gritty player. But this was, you know, somebody nobody knew, and you took out the big star of the Giants. I mean, those things happen. There are a few of those plays every year, unfortunately. And part of it could probably be blamed on Posey that he didn't set himself up right, you know, for taking that hit, or he shouldn't have taken that hit. So, yeah, I'm not fired. I'm just hopefully he can come back here, and he's looking pretty good, and come back and have a decent career.
Now, what are your thoughts? The story that was kind of coming up last year in the offseason, too, this past offseason, made me think of you. What are the odds the Giants are going to be able to keep Lincecum when the time comes?
Well, that's the question. Right now they're focusing on if they're going to be able to re-sign Matt Cain,
mm-hmm.
who's also going to be, he's going to be, you know, the, what do they call him, the players union or whatever. They're pushing for him to max out his contract and get everything he can with the Giants, you know, looking for multi-year, you know, triple in the hundreds of millions. So if they sign Matt Cain, they got to figure this out here pretty shortly, or they're going to have to deal him mid-season if they want to get something for him. If that happens, and, you know, he's looking for upwards to $25 million a year, a long-term contract,
oh,
five
Jesus.
To 7 years. If they sign him, are they going to be able to sign Lincecum? So it might be a choice between one or the other. And who knows what the best choice would be. If you look at Kane's numbers over the years, he's been a stud too. And people who get in all the nerdy stuff about looking at pitchers, mechanics, and all that stuff, and who might be around longer, hold up longer, it might be Cain. So I think they're not going to be able to keep both of those guys over the long term. They're going to have to make a decision.
I'd keep Lincecum.
Yeah, well, Lincecum, he's the star. He's the big draw. Of course, that's who everybody wants to, they don't want to lose him. He's the rock star. But
yeah. Who would you take, though? You see more games than I do. You're almost an expert.
In this
realm.
I probably would like, my heart says Lincecum. My head would say Cain.
Is there a big age difference?
Nah, they're about the same. I think they're about the same age. And, you know, Cain's put up great numbers, you know, as far as innings pitched and earned run average and all that stuff, but he has, for a career, I think he has a losing record, but that's because playing on the Giants, they don't get him any runs.
Yeah.
You know, so he's been a victim of that whole thing. Boy, it's a toss-up. Signing these pitchers long-term, too, man, it's just, you're rolling the dice, you know? You sign this guy to whatever, $100+ million over 5 years or so, and he gets injured in the first year, and you're like, screwed, you got all your money invested in pitchers, which is a good investment, but you can't bring in any other free agents. That's what happened with Barry Zito. I mean, they're still, they're still dealing with his contract. He has a couple more years, you know. Everybody just can't wait to the day till they get him off the books.
Yeah, it's weird with these pitchers. It seems like they sign them to like a 5-year deal or something, with the exception of like very few guys, like maybe like CC Sabathia or something. You end up getting like every other year or something is like a crap year.
Yeah,
if you're lucky, you know, like maybe you get like half of the years are any good, it seems.
Well, yeah, there's less incentive. What Lincecum has done, they've been signing him to like 1-year contracts. And if you stay healthy, you make more money doing it that way, you know?
Yeah.
a pitcher does, and it, yeah, so we'll see. I hate to have him lose either one of those guys, but they probably will. I just can't see them being able to afford to keep them both. And they have Bumgardner, too. They got him locked up for a while. So they're, you know, they're in decent shape, even if they do lose Kane or Lincecum.
Now, did they make any free agent signing that got you interested at all, that excited you? Did they sign anyone I would know of?
They got Milky Cabrera.
Oh, the Milkman.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know too much about him, but yeah, I was talking to you before. He said he's pretty good.
He's pretty good, yeah.
Angel Pagan.
That name sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, he's another one of those names you heard, but then they also got, crap.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I can't even tell you the guy's name. They had somebody come out of spring training here. He's going to make the team. Gregory has got a Latin last name, but he's this is great for an interview, but he's impressed a lot of people. I think he's like just blown up the Cactus League. So, and then other signings. Nothing beyond Pagan and Cabrera, but they've added a lot more speed with these guys, so it's going to be a different look Giants.
Yeah.
Then they have, you know, these players that kind of been waiting in the wings that a lot of people are expecting stuff out of. Brandon Belt and the shortstop Crawford. Brandon Crawford, I think he's a Brandon, too, that... you know, great defensively, but really fell short hitting. So if these guys start coming around, you know, they got some, seemingly it looks like some good young players. And Panda's going to be, he's healthy this year. When he's healthy, he usually does good. And so I think it'll be a good year for him.
You feel good about the prospects for the year?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. As I said, you're a resident Giants fan. How are they going to fare against Craig Bishop's kind of reeling Dodgers there that have their uncertain ownership?
I would hope they'd kick their asses.
Okay, yeah.
Who knows? we can guess, but, you know, in the season starts, you always have some team that comes out of nowhere. It's like, who was expecting the Arizona Diamondbacks, you know? Everybody was thinking the Giants were going to repeat.
I know. It seems like a lot of teams I back in previous years end up fucking coming to the surface a few years later, and the ones I, you know, after I've already given up on them. So.
Yeah, you never know. And they got that new ownership gets in there in L.A., you know. They might be doing some big stuff on the free agency. So they could turn that around real quick.
That's true. All right. Should we do some predictions? Are you ready to
I'm ready to
make some calls here on the year?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wanted to also actually before we get to that. Well, what do you know about this Cody Ross character? He's playing for the Red Sox now. I'm a big fan already. I think he's awesome.
Oh, he's a cool dude. I mean, just as far as a dude, a good fellow. Everybody loved Cody.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, of course, as he became known to Phillies fans, you know what his middle name was?
Fucking?
Nick, Cody fucking Ross. do you remember what he did in the playoffs a couple years ago? So he is kind of has that reputation as a clutch hitter, but also a streaky hitter.
Okay.
And he seems like a really good guy, the interviews and stuff I've heard from him. So the Boston fans are digging him so far, huh?
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's doing really well, and he seems to have the right personality for the area and shit. They've needed, you know, he's kind of Pedroia-esque.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, kind of
addition.
A fun-loving guy, seems to enjoy playing the game.
Exactly. Not afraid to get dirty.
Yep.
All right. Now that we've got Go Rightly seal of approval on Cody Ross, we can get to the predictions.
Yeah, hate to lose him, but they had to make some moves, you know, so.
Exactly, yeah.
They didn't re-sign him, being the Giants.
Now we can do the predictions. What do you, we'll start in the National League, since that is your home turf, and we will do first the NL East. Who you got?
Let me pull that up.
Yeah, get your divisions up.
You know how I always have a method?
Yeah, what's your method this time?
None of them seem to work so far, but started with the Costanza method a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that bombed out. None of it ever seems to work, but I forgot what I did last year. I did better than Bishop. I saw I got 2 out of 11, and Greg got 1 out of 11.
I believe so. Let me call that up while I'm talking to you, yes.
How do you do that? How does somebody do that bad? If you tried, you couldn't do that bad.
Yes, before tiebreakers, Bishop had 0 out of 11, and you had 1 out of 11, so you bested Bishop.
Okay, they got a method here.
All right, yeah, one year you were also, then you toyed with some kind of payroll-based system.
Mm-hmm. That didn't work. I was surprised, too. I thought I was going to play it safe and look at the teams who spend the most money, because if you look at that over, like, a 10-year period, that's the teams that are winning, you know, those the Yankees and the Red Sox, but you get these teams sneaking through.
Yeah.
Surprising, you know, like the damn Devil Rays.
Exactly. Then I remember one year you also did the teams you hate, or places you hate.
Oh, yeah. Shit, you remember this stuff better than me. Yeah. So my method this year is, who would Jesus pick?
Wow. This is like a Tim Tebow theme.
Yeah, coming off the success of Tebow, maybe you know how he got on a roll there with Jesus. So
okay, wow.
Maybe this will work for me. So we'll start with the National League East.
Mm-hmm.
Who would Jesus pick? You know, and if you look at the teams here, you got the Philadelphia Phillies, Atlanta Braves. Now, we'll eliminate the Braves right off the top of the because they're Braves, Indians, Heathens.
Yeah.
So we'll eliminate them. The Mets, Nationals, Phillies. I don't know if Jesus would have any like any of those teams over the others, but then there's the Florida Marlins.
Yeah.
And, you know, like fishes are creations of God.
And that's true.
So that's who Jesus is going to go with, or I'm going to go with, on Jesus' recommendation.
I love it. I love it.
Florida Marlins.
You've managed to top yourself once again here with this this strategy.
We'll see how this works here.
Yeah, you could go all the way here with this. Okay. So then we have the NL Central.
Okay, so you got the Brewers. I don't think God would approve on all the beer drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals, they're under consideration. Those are creatures created by the Lord.
That's true.
The Reds, that makes me think of communists, so forget them.
Yeah, or the devil.
Pirates are bad, right?
Absolutely.
Cubs are animals of the earth. God loves them, so we got Cardinals and Cubs. Astros, I don't know what the hell those are. That's not of the earth, so... And I think the Cardinals are better than the Cubs, so I'll go with Jesus and I will... This is like we came to this decision together. St. Louis Cardinals. It was a consensus.
All right. So St. Louis is your National League Central pick.
And then we got two wild cards this year?
Yeah, well, we still have to do... Yes, we do.
Okay, we'll get back to those. So we'll go to the West. Diamondbacks, snakes, evil, no good. They're out of the running.
I love this. I've never thought about this before in my life. This is why it's brilliant.
The giants in the Bible, there's stories of giants.
Indeed.
So, okay, they're going to be in the running. Rockies, God created heaven and earth, as well as the mountains and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in the running. This is where it's kind of a quandary here.
I was just thinking
Padres, San Diego Padres.
It seems like a no-brainer, though.
They kind of are going up to the top here. And then you have the Dodgers. And, you know, what the hell, Dodgers, but they're Los Angeles, City of the Angels.
Wow. There's a lot going on in this one.
Yeah. So, well, you look at the Dodgers and the Padres, Angels, Padres. I think Angels are of a higher order than Padres, right?
I would assume so.
And then, just because I like the Giants, I think all the. Well, let's go with the Giants.
Okay.
Winning the division, and then the Dodgers, the City of the Angels, as one of our wild card teams.
Okay. And then for your second wild card team.
How is this wild card working? Can the just the best record, so you could have two wild cards from the same division?
Right, right. You know how, like, the original wild card was whoever didn't win their division but had the best record?
Yeah.
Now it's the next. Now it's also the team under them.
Okay, make Jesus happy. We'll go with the Padres.
Okay. So to recap, you've got Miami for the East, St. Louis for the Central, the Giants for the West, and then the Dodgers and the Padres battling it out for the wild card.
I know it's crazy, but...
It just might work.
I can't do worse than last year. It's impossible.
And just to clarify, although I'm sure I'll have clarified it earlier in the show, for scoring purposes, we score... It's transposed wild cards. You don't have to get, you know, the right order on who gets a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever...
Sure.
You know. All right. Adam actually helped me decide that moments before we started taping, so he deserves credit.
Good. Okay, sure.
All right, now in the American League. American League East?
Okay, first off, let's see, we're going to eliminate the Devil Rays for obvious reasons.
Okay, well now they did drop the devil part of their name, but
I know
it's too late.
They prefer to call themselves the Rays these days, but we still know about their devilish pedigree.
That's true, the devil's in the details.
Under any conditions would Jesus endorse them.
Okay.
Right?
I agree.
The Red Sox can also be eliminated, I think, mainly because red is the color of the devil.
Okay.
I don't think Jesus would like guys like whoever hyped themselves like Bobby Valentine.
Uh-oh.
You like that dude?
I'm not sure yet how I feel about him.
You'll probably get tired of him pretty soon, like Rex Ryan.
Yeah, it goes day to day. It's a roller coaster. I'm not sure how I feel about him yet. One day I'm like, I like what he said, and the next day I'm like, what an asshole. Why'd he say that? He's an idiot. So I'm not sure yet how I feel. Okay, so who you have left then? The Yankees, Toronto, and Baltimore.
Okay. So both the Orioles, you have the Orioles and the Blue Jays, they're birds, and birds, you know, once again, they're creations of God. So they're in the running, but since both those teams suck, I think Jesus would go with the Yankees. So that's what I'm going to do.
Wow. Wow. You're making me question my faith, but okay. But okay, all right, so the Central Division then.
I'm not trying to convert anybody. I'm just trying to find a system that, of course, if I use the same system every year, I'd be choosing the same teams.
That's true.
So, yeah, it's just a one-year deal. So where are we at? The Central?
Yes.
The Central. Let me pull that up. We have... So you got the Cleveland Indians, but and since Indians are heathens... And they worship animals and nature spirits. Will eliminate them from the running. You have the Tigers. They're an animal. Once again, you know how that works. But Tigers are sometimes bad kitties.
That's true.
So let's just hang on a second. Let's look at the rest of the team. Chicago White Sox, you know, it's kind of like an anti-Red Sox. White is good, so that's going to... counts for some points. Kansas City Royals, I don't know what the hell a Royal is, so forget them. Minnesota Twins. Twins are often evil, right? You've heard about evil twins?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so we got, let's go with Detroit. I think they'll be good kitties and win the Central Division.
All right.
Jesus concurs.
Okay. I like the pause there.
I was waiting.
To check in. All right.
And, okay, so the West. Of course, Jesus is going to take the angels every time.
That seems like a no-brainer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But I think he would like the Texas Rangers also.
Okay.
Because, like, you know, the Texas Rangers are good guys in the Old West.
That's true.
Shooting them heathen animal-worshipping Indians.
Indeed.
So we'll make Texas probably a wild card. The Oakland A's there. I don't know what the hell that name is. And Mariners, forget them. So we're set up here with the Angels to win the West, and one of the wild cards is Texas. And let's look at the other teams again. Probably... let's go with the White Sox.
All right.
Just because, you know, they're good. They represent good with White Sox.
All right. Very interesting. Nice. So those are your picks for the AL and the NL. Now let's get down to business on you know, who takes the pennants. So
yeah.
In the American League, you've offered up the Yankees, the Tigers, the Angels, the Rangers, and the White Sox. Who do you see walking out of that?
That's a no-brainer. Who would Jesus pick?
Out of that group, I think the Angels.
Well, there you go.
All right.
That's my pick. That's my final answer.
Okay, and then on the other side, in the National League, you've got the Marlins, the Cardinals, the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Padres. So, who do you see coming out of that?
Oh, boy. That's a tough one. Let's go Angels versus Angels, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Wow.
The Angels. An all-LA World Series.
That would be awesome. I'd come out there for that.
And since the Angels are more Angels than the Dodgers, the Anaheim, or they call themselves the Los Angeles Angels now, the Angels Angels.
Yeah, the Los Angeles Angels,
yeah,
of Anaheim.
Like saying the Angel Angels. I got the double angel whammy, so that's my pick.
All right, based on the double angel whammy, I like that. All right, well, those are the Go Rightly.
There you have it.
Courtesy of Adam Go Rightly and Jesus himself.
Yep.
The picks from Camp Go Rightly. All right, very interesting. I'll put them in the vault for next year. Special.
You need a big vault that slams. Boom.
I'll see if I can get that sound effect.
Yeah.
Now, it wouldn't be your annual appearance on the baseball special if we didn't briefly talk about basketball. So what's going on with your beloved Lakers?
They're looking good.
What are you talking about? They look terrible.
When did you see them?
I don't know, around Christmas.
No, they got rid of Derek Fisher and got this point guard, Ramon Sessions.
I saw that, yeah, they got rid of Derek Fisher.
So they've been, the dynamics of the team have changed. They're a little more up-tempo. This guy provides easier shots, and I think there's a good chemistry there.
What do you think of the new coach?
He's okay.
All right.
It seems, I kind of like him. He's not the guy that... going to get pushed around easily. There was a little controversy last night because he quote-unquote benched Kobe in a game they lost. Kobe got all frustrated. I think he just Coach Brown pulled him out because of that, just to cool him down. But Kobe didn't blow up afterwards in any of the media interviews. So, you know, they got these teams got bumps in the roads. But I think they're looking a lot better. I think they'll, you know, they could surprise folks, you know, the obvious team in the West that everybody's picking now is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
Who, yeah, they can be lights out, man. They got some studs. Then San Antonio Spurs will look good, so.
That's what I hear, yeah. I'm looking at the standings now, so.
Yeah, any of those teams come out of there. The thing about the Lakers, they got that. They, you know, get their act together. They got the best front line.
Are you upset that the Chris Paul trade got nixed? You must be outraged.
Yeah, whatever.
If only all sports fans could have your perspective, there wouldn't be so many bar fights.
Yeah, at the time, you know, it's like, that kind of sucked because of Stern made the call on that. Who the hell, you know? I don't think he had a right to butt in there. And all because the NBA are the owners of the New Orleans Hornets, their GM wanted to make the trade, but the league stepped in, and the league owns the team. It's this messy.
Conspiracy?
Right. I don't know. Stern had his reasons for doing it. I didn't think he wanted the balance of power to shift over to L.A. again so soon. I don't know if that would have put the Lakers over the top. Maybe in the long run it works out better. So, you know,
all right.
What happens, happens.
Very cool-headed response.
Even last year, I was happy to see the Mavericks win.
I was too. I hate fucking Miami.
Dirk Nowitzki's a cool dude, it seems like, and the Lakers were a bunch of pouting little babies about it.
So yeah, I don't care for that Andrew Bynum. I don't like how he clotheslined that guy.
No, that was Bush League's.
Yeah, ridiculous.
The Lakers won for a couple of years now, you know.
I predict the Lakers lose in the Western Conference Finals.
Hmm. That's to the Oklahoma City. Well, you can't tell for sure who they're going
to. Yeah, I don't know who they're going to lose to, but
yeah.
I think they'll lose. And just for your amusement, I'll say the Celtics will lose in the second round. They won't even make
it. They're going to lose somewhere.
Yeah. At this rate, it looks like they're supposed to play fucking Miami, so that doesn't look
too good. I don't even feel sorry for them. They're not that good, so.
Ah, I'm frustrated with them. You know. It's a...
Yeah, I would predict. I don't think Miami's... I think the Thunder could beat Miami.
I think so. I think Chicago will beat Miami anyway, I hope. So
Yeah, that could be.
They're pretty close.
So yeah,
we'll see what happens.
That's it. The Thunder, when those guys get rolling, man, they're, man.
What do you think of this aborted season? I kind of like it, actually. I wish they would do this more. I wish that was how the season always worked.
Yeah, you get I think there's too many games. It's like in all these sports, they want to.
Well, that's for sure, yeah.
Push baseball into, like, even push that later on, you know, and get into all the nasty weather and stuff. It's like ridiculous. Come on, man.
Right.
Yeah, so. There's too many games. Football, professional football, they're trying to do it. That's just what those guys, players need more games to get injured and stuff.
I know. I just like how there used to be like two games a week for every team in the NBA. Now it's you get four.
That's
which is
fun.
Better.
You're going to get at least a couple good games a week.
Yeah, you squish them all in. You know, it can't be that bad. Give them like 3 or 4 years, they get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather that than like have the season stretch out from October all the way to fucking June.
Yeah, they don't.
Starting on Christmas Day is a great way to do it.
Early in the season, it's usually ugly and they don't care as much. Then, you know, towards the end of the season, they're holding players out, you know, for the playoffs. So, why do you need, I think their regular season is 80 games or something. Why do you need that many? Why not 40?
God only knows, I know. Well.
But it's all money, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Just like football and baseball, it's why they're adding all these wild cards and stuff. I mean, it's kind of good for the fans when their team's right on the bubble there, and you know. So yeah, you know, if the Giants make it as the second wild card, I'll be ecstatic. But you know, where do you stop? Why don't you just? Somebody was saying they ought to have like a instead of all this stuff. He was just joking. Some guy heard on sports radio. For the NBA, just have do it like the NCAA. Just have a one game elimination with all the teams, pro teams.
Well, I heard one one idea that was similar to that, but one that I actually like was the seven teams that normally get in for each side get in, and then for the last spot, you have a fucking everybody left tournament.
Yeah, that'd
to get
be
the last spot. That would be pretty good. I'd get behind that.
And how exciting would that be if that team who won that made a run, won a championship, man?
Exactly, yeah. See, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, usually the eighth team anyway, they're just, it could be anybody. It's whoever gets lucky or doesn't get a player injured, they barely squeak through, you know? So,
right.
Yeah.
So add some excitement to it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Thank you. It's not mine. It's Bill Simmons from ESPN, so give him credit. All right, so that's all our sports discussion here for the year. But I kind of botched.
I'm sure your regular listeners will thank you for that too.
Well, I kind of they're not going to be too happy then with my wall to wall Olympic coverage. So.
Oh. That could be ugly.
I know.
Are you serious?
No.
Okay.
What do you know about curling?
It's not a sport.
Wow, that's bold. Paul Kimball's going to take issue with that one.
Oh, yeah, some Canadian. That's a sport. he also likes Billy Joel and Rick Springfield, so.
Yikes.
I'm telling you.
That's scary.
So consider the source.
Well, I kind of botched it here when I started because this is the first of the baseball segments that I've taped for the year. But, you know, usually I try to start off with what have you been up to, but I like I said, I fucked that all up. So let's sort of wrap it all up here with tell us about the new book. You're going to be on the program in a few weeks once the season gets underway to talk to us in depth about it. But it is Happy Trails to High Weirdness, and folks can pick it up right now via Amazon. But, you know, give us a little preview of that.
It's kind of semi biographical, autobiographical of adventures and people I've met along my path of high strangeness. Kind of focuses on the West and the Great Southwest. A lot of, you know, recount adventures I've taken to conspiracy conferences and UFO conferences and weird experiences I've had in my own life. So that's in a nutshell, that's kind of it. We'll get into more depth here whenever we get to doing your show. But it's available on Amazon.com now. So real happy with the book thus far and making a few sales of it here and there. So it's going pretty good.
Nice. Yeah, folks, go check that out on Amazon.com. It's Happy Trails to High Weirdness, a Conspiracy Theorist's Tour Guide. And like I said, we're going to be talking about it in-depth on the program in a few weeks or so. So be sure to tune back in for that one, folks.
And how soon is this interview going to air?
Around opening day. So
okay.
Within a week or so, sometime between the 5th and the 12th.
Let me plug something else. I'm going to be doing this alternative universe iConference.
Okay, I read about that, yeah.
Yeah, it's on April 21st, and it's myself, and they've already done one of these. The first one had Walter Bosley and Kevin Smith. He might be familiar with him, and Greg Bishop, and couple other folks I'm forgetting, but the first one was five speakers, each talking for an hour or so, giving a presentation. The whole idea of this is, you know, these conferences, so expensive putting them on, and for people to go see them nowadays, it's really expensive proposition. So this way you can check out a paranormal weirdo conference from the comfort of your own home. And it's done through you basically go through the website, and it's Kevin Smith, who has a radio show podcast. He has it set up there, and it's just $10. You get five speakers, and they can even ask them. There's a period where folks can ask questions, and each of the speakers, part of the deal, we present something that hasn't been presented before, some research we haven't presented to the world before, so that's the kind of neat thing about it.
Yeah, who are some of the speakers at this big event?
Okay, I'll give you the lineup. We're going to have Kevin Smith, and he's going to be talking about Mars, the fading fog, and I think it's presentation on Mars anomalies. William Michael Mott will be giving a presentation called The Problem of Density Regarding Non-Human Encounters. And I don't have a clue what that's about, but I'm sure it'll be fascinating. Don Ecker will be presenting as Somebody Else on the Moon. And Ecker's done a lot of research about, once again, weird anomalies and stuff going on the moon that y'all might not be aware of. My presentation is Sex, Drugs, and UFOs.
Nice.
And if you want to find out more, you'll have to spend $10 and go to this conference. And also Nick Redfern and his presentation is TBA, to be announced.
Nice.
So anyway, yeah, you can go to www.kevinsmithshow.com, and then you'll see a link there for Alternative Universe iConference. So this is coming up on April 21st.
Awesome, awesome.
So those, yeah, those are some things I have going on.
So folks should go out and check that out and tune in a few weeks for Adam's big return to BOA Audio for some esoteric discussion.
Indeed. Look forward to it.
On that note, I guess I'll pull you from the mound here. So thanks for coming back on the show, Adam, and I'll be talking to you in a few short weeks.
You are quite welcome. As always, as I said, I am humbled and honored to be a guest on your show anytime.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
That does it for the 2012 BOA Audio Baseball Special. Big, big thanks to our good friends Jason Offit, Lauren Coleman, Rich Dolan, Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop, and Adam Gorightly for joining in on the festivities once again this year. You can find out more from these folks at their websites linked all over Banal of America. And as you learned over the course of the last couple hours, you'll be hearing from Jason Offit and Adam Gorightly once again on the program during BOA Audio Season 7. Now, what about BOA Audio Season 7? It has been nearly 2 months since I last spoke to the great folks here in BOA Audio Nation. I have a lot to report, but I cannot say much. I can tell you that we have taped a plethora of interviews. We have got an amazing catalog of shows already in the can and ready to roll out for folks very, very soon. I cannot tell you a specific premiere date, although I can tell you, how is this for a teaser? I can tell you that we will announce the premiere date this coming Friday, April 20th, 2 months literally to the day since we dropped the BOA Audio Season 6 finale. We will announce the BOA Audio Season 7 premiere date. And the great thing about this downtime here between seasons is that, as I just said, we have taped a bunch of episodes. So I'm really hoping that we can get things going in a more timely fashion now that we have a bunch of shows in the can. I would like to announce some of the guests, but trust me, folks, I'd rather have it be a big surprise when we roll through them. And given the way the world of online paranormal podcasting is, if I was to announce all of the guests here we've lined up and recorded for Season 7, there would be people out there who would be falling all over themselves to try and scoop us and get the guests themselves before they can appear on BOA Audio. So we're going to keep them under wraps. I will tell you that we're going to be doing a lot of creature episodes, a lot of crypto stuff. We're going to be dealing in a lot of conspiracy elements in Season 7 to kick things off. That's kind of the best teaser I can give you. But we are just very, very, very close to the start of Season 7. We've got the new logo for Season 7 loaded up at the Banal of America Facebook page. And expect news of the new season to be coming fast and furious on my Facebook page as well. You can find out more on all that, of course, at the Facebook page. Just punch in Binall, B-I-N-N-A-L-L, and that'll bring you to my profile. Feel free to befriend me, follow me, or poke me, and from there, you will get your dosage of BOA Audio news.
since this is sort of a episode existing in the ether between seasons, we're going to eschew all of the end show stuff. So big thanks to the BYU staff. No need to make donations yet, folks. I'll be pushing for donations once Season 7 starts. And, of course, we're going to skip listener feedback since I've just unloaded a whole bunch of stuff on you regarding Season 7. So with all that said, I bid you farewell for now. You'll be hearing from me in the not-too-distant future as we kick off BOA Audio Season 7. The adventure soon begins again, my friends, and I'm very much looking forward to the next installment of our collective journey into the unknown.